Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. It is Tuesday, July 9th. Here is what's driving the day. First and foremost, you want to keep your eyes on a House Democrats meeting. It's going to be at the DCCC at 9 a.m. this morning. The guidance read, and you guys will get a kick out of this, quote, "This meeting is strictly members only. Cell phones will not be permitted. Secure cell phone storage for members will be provided on site. Hot breakfast will be served." So they're taking their phones, but they're giving them breakfast. That is the payoff. A lot of the conversation is obviously expected to be about President Biden and him staying the nominee. There was a big question of whether or not the bottom would fall out at the beginning of this week after July 4th weekend. That seems to not have happened. A lot more members of Congress have come out in support of President Biden staying atop the ticket for November than have come out against him. That doesn't mean the concerns are gone. They are clearly still there. But the momentum, as of right now, all of this is very fluid, but the momentum is in the direction President Biden and his team want it to be. Last night, President Biden met with his most loyal base on the Hill, the Congressional Black Caucus. President Biden started the meeting thanking the CBC for getting him this far. He reminded them about the letter that the president sent to the Hill saying that he wasn't going anywhere. But I'm told he also outlined what he would actually do in a second term. This is something that CBC members have been looking for a long time. And they reported to President Biden what they heard from their constituents after his debacle of a debate and the reasons why they were staying with him. As lawmakers left the meeting, they praised the president, they praised his record. The conversation largely focused on policy, Black economic progress. It was quite the warm welcome. Later today, President Biden will start attending the NATO summit. It is going to be another one of those moments where people are kind of testing the president after that debate performance. He's had interviews, some rallies, just talking to regular voters. This is going to be one of the him on the world stage moments for people to look at. Joining me now to discuss all of that is White House correspondent Adam Kankren, friend of the pod. Adam, hello, sir. Good morning.
Hello, Eugene. Good morning. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's been kind of quiet, right? Like nothing's going on.
It's so weird. What are we talking about? I don't even know.
I don't know. There's like nothing happening in this country right now. President Biden starts NATO today. It comes as members of his party are saying either they want him pushed aside. That's a small group of people. They are completely happy with him. He should stay the nominee. Or another group is the kind of show me what you got group. We saw him do the ABC interview. He called in the Morning Joe. He's had some rallies and some normal events since the debacle of a debate. But NATO's also part of that test. So I guess walk me through his schedule and kind of the what folks are looking at as the big moments to test him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are three pivotal days, not just for Biden's legacy and foreign policy agenda and NATO overall, but also obviously to your point about the future of his presidency and his candidacy and how voters and members of his own party view him and feel like he is doing, especially after that debate and the aftermath. So what we're going to see over the next few days, we're going to see Biden giving remarks, doing kind of a traditional speech, talking about NATO at the 75th anniversary. We will see him in various kind of working group sessions, right? These group sessions where NATO leaders all go around and talk about kind of some of the big priorities that they're working on here. The big thing that we will see and that that's going to probably draw the most attention is on Thursday when Biden is scheduled to give a press conference. And this is going to be more fulsome than the two questions that he's typically limited to.
They've been calling it a big boy press conference at the White House.
Press conference. I mean, you know, when you have to specify that the president of the United States is going to take more than a couple questions, it tells you about the import of this moment, I think. And that's really kind of what everybody domestically, at least, is zeroed in terms of evaluating, how is the president, how is he doing? And what does the future of his candidacy look like?
Yeah, we all have Justin Sink of Bloomberg to thank for big boy press conference. And so I told him I'll never forgive him for it because it feels like it's a part of the canon of White House coverage. I guess when you think about kind of the rest of the week, right? You talked about the importance of this press conference. How important is it for him to do well just in general, right? There have been stories along the way about foreign leaders kind of wondering about how he's doing. You have, obviously, NATO is something that he cares a lot about. It would then, we would suspect that that's a place where he would do his best because he cares about the issues. But like, how important is it for him to do well at everything? Or does it just matter that he kills his big boy press conference?
No, I think the reality now after that debate and after the interview on ABC didn't really put to rest some of this talk about his fitness. The reality for Biden is that every single moment from here on out is going to be significant, right? These are just going to be the latest in a series of litmus tests on whether he remains kind of the best person to go up against Trump in November and give Democrats the best opportunity to win. So yes, obviously the press conference is the most important. It will be the most scrutinized, but every moment up until then, people are going to be dissecting and analyzing, and not just in here in the US, but also European leaders who the majority of them, allies, are really, really freaked out about the possibility of Trump coming back and scrambling the entire kind of world order, everything that Biden has worked for over the past 3.5 years.
Last question before I let you go, Adam. Last week, there was a conversation about how a lot of members of Congress were going to come. They were going to put their arms together. They were going to jump and they were going to, you know, take Joe Biden off the ticket, right? That is still possible, but the momentum that we saw Monday was actually in the opposite direction, that more people, a lot more people are publicly, and that's really important, the public versus the private, publicly saying they are with Biden. The Senator Warner meeting gets canceled. You have some of the folks who are in that rankers meeting on Sunday kind of backpedaling, saying, you know, actually, he's not that bad. You know, that we'll stick with the guy. It's not escalating to the place that a lot of folks thought it was going to go. The bottom doesn't seem to be falling out. Does it feel that the momentum is done? Or if he does a crappy job this weekend at NATO, that could change a lot of things, I think. But it does seem like it's going in the president's direction right now.
Yeah, well, what a surprise that Congress in private has a lot to say, and then when you ask them publicly, suddenly, you know, everything's okay.
It's so weird.
It is both unsurprising, but also does not mean that this issue is over. One thing a Democratic advisor to a lot of House members told me that I thought was particularly smart was that the meeting that they held on Sunday allowed a lot of Democrats to get things off their chest, right? So they weren't coming in to D.C. on Monday. Yeah, upset about the fact that, number one, they had to be back in town, and number two, ready to just, you know, go off and give the first thing that came to their mind. So that allowed them to blow off a little steam, get some of the pressure out, right, and give Joe Biden a little bit of a reprieve on a Monday. All of this will depend heavily on how Biden himself does over these next few days at NATO.
Sir, Mr. Kinkren, what a week, 2 weeks time to be covering everything that's going on. Everyone that's listening should know that this is a fluid situation. So if you hear this, you're like, wait a second, they missed something. Like, okay, it's not our fault. Everyone's moving very fast and very slow at the same time around here. All right, Adam.
Yeah, you'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, we're back all week, honey. We're here all week. Adam Kinkren, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Gene, anytime.
And for your schedule today, the House and the Senate are in. Senate Democrats having that very important meeting at 9:00. And President Biden will head to the NATO summit and deliver remarks on the 75th anniversary of NATO. I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.